Welcome to the Love Letters to Poe podcast. I'm Sarah Crokel Smith, publisher and editor-in-chief, bringing you wonder and terror, romance and horror in this gothic fiction magazine. Each week, I'll be sharing a new gothic story or poem from the pages of Love Letters to Poe. You can find the original stories and poems, author interviews, your free copy of the magazine's inaugural issue, and much more at loveletterstopoe.com. Today's gothic story is titled The Row House, read by the author, Jeremy Megargee. This story can be found in Volume 1, Issue 1 of Love Letters to Poe. I hope you enjoy this haunting tale.
The Row House by Jeremy Megargee. The row house is small, the rooms cramped, and there's a vague sense of claustrophobia when moving through minuscule hallways and climbing narrow stairs. When it's daylight and Baltimore's alive, it's a modest museum, and people crowd into the tiny rooms to get a sense of who he was, why he was, and what lived in his haunted heart. You can buy keepsakes, candles, leather journals, t-shirts, and talismanic objects, purchased from within the walls where he once breathed and labored. There's the surface of the row house, a skimming of shallow water, but there are deaths that remain unseen, a call that breaks open when the hour grows dark and the museum closes for business. Midnight oil burns in rooms of memory, and there are sights and sounds to be heard. The past tends to stain, and the row house is no different. There's an infinitesimal attic, emaciated rafters in a lonely window. There's a mountain of bird bones here, a brittle Everest, ulnas, femurs, carpometacarpus gleaming beneath weak moonlight. Once feathered wings and skulls polished clean by mice and insects, beaks no longer able to call. Ravens shatter the window every few months, drawn inward as though by magnetism, and they die gasping in the attic, their insides equally shattered. The window is frequently replaced, but the bones are never touched, for it would be unlucky to desecrate the graveyard that the ravens have chosen for themselves. He won't linger, for the bird skulls resent being watched, and it's not polite to stare. Down through the ceiling, the walls pressing inward, making you feel like you must bend and contort to navigate from room to room. There's a bedroom and a feverish scratching from inside, quill on paper, desk rattling, ink pooling and bleeding blacker than sin. The sound represents desperation, a yearning to rise above the station he was born into. There's a smooth, fruity flavor overhanging the room, the smell of brandy. Hitting the belly and lighting fires there, fuel for ideas after dark, literature being born. A tugging, a rattling, like a wounded heart beneath floorboards. Some writers give birth over and over again in their lifetimes, sending their beautifully repulsive children out into the world to be admired or disdained. It takes a toll, those mental exertions, and sometimes it drives one to drink and drink until death is almost blissfully certain. We creep on and mind the wooden planks. They're sensitive and they squeal. The splinters are a constant gift. The next bedroom is smaller, closer to that aforementioned attic, and it feels crooked, never quite solid, a nest for bent angles and walls that were never taught to remain straight. During daylight, it's the quietest room, but at night, it's the loudest. A nocturnal element in play, for every tortured soul finds a voice that's been lost in the witching hour. Sporadic noises, ragged coughs full of viscous liquid and infinite suffering. It's hot in here, a taste of hell's precipice, and the sauna-like temperatures make the invisible cougher even more vocal. It brings to mind images of a brow with skin thin like parchment, beaded with sweat, and a pallid literary man's hand wiping at it hour after hour with a wet rag, hoping to give her just a sliver of comfort. Sometimes the coughs come with a splatter, and a red mist will stain the hardwood floor, blooms of blood from nowhere, roses that never last. disappearing with the dawn. It was called consumption because it consumed. The disease made one as frail as a cadaver, lips forcibly crimson from the coughing. And a human in such a state was a pitiful thing to see. Clutching at blankets in hopes of warding off a cold so deep it chilled the marrow. If the row house has a soul, and I believe that it does, surely that soul wasn't born with a lust for the macabre. It was imprinted, stamped into the architecture of the place, as inevitable as a wound never allowed to close as a knife keeps splitting it open and refusing it the chance to heal. A cloud lorded over the life of the man who lived and wrote here, and he was so accustomed to the shadow of it that he never expected it to leave him be. If history teaches us anything, it never did. If the row house is a part of him, the streets of Baltimore are as well. His last steps, his final mysterious delirium, his fall, skull cracking cobblestone, and all the stories and poems yet to be told draining from him as his life approached the lesser portion of the hourglass. The insult of an obituary written by an enemy. A life lived destitute. A path almost predestined to glorify tragedy. A servant of sorrow to the bitter end. And isn't sorrow one of the most inspiring emotions of all? So the next time you're strolling through Baltimore, that special pocket of gloom where the streets are dark and might have teeth. Stop to admire the row house and let your gaze drift up to a window. If the night is right and the stars shine phantasmagorically, you might see a face looking down at you. Pale, drooping, a broken moonflower of a face. And hair as black and wild as the circumstances of his life. You'll meet his eyes. And behind them is a murderous orangutan, a black cat, a heart pounding under floorboards, and a legendary raven that perches and speaks from a familiar chamber door. All that he is, all that he was, all that ever lived and lurked inside of him. Lift a glass of cognac and hold tight to a rose until the thorns pierce your palm. The monsters that were in him are in all of us, and it just takes a little push to get them out. It'll all make sense in time. The Row House will show you.
If you enjoyed this work of fiction, please show your love by leaving a review. Never miss another story or poem by visiting loveletterstopoe.com/join. And if you want the party to continue, I invite you to Prince Prospero's Masquerade over at patreon.com/loveletterstopoe. Until next time, embrace what lurks in the shadows. You never know what gothic adventure lay within.